big doings going on in Paris today, and the French President Nicolas Sarkozy probably is going to take a few moments to brag a little bit about his involvement, his and the UK's urging of NATO to get involved with the rebellion in Libya. It's being chaired by British Prime Minister David Cameron, this meeting, and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. And joining us from, and I understand, Jonathan, that you're actually standing in front of Sarkozy's house. Jonathan Marcus is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. Good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning to you. Well, I'm in a very sunny late summer Paris, at the back, actually, of the Élysée Palace, the French president's official residence, where the conference is going to be getting underway probably in 2 or 3 hours from now.
And there's probably going to be a little chest beating, don't you think? I mean, at this point, the two co-chairs, British Prime Minister David Cameron and French President Nicolas Sarkozy, probably feel like they have some room to take credit here.
Well, I think they certainly feel vindicated in their decision to back the rebels in Libya from a very early stage. Clearly, the fighting isn't over yet, and many of the main problems facing the new government of Libya are only just beginning. So I don't think there's going to be too much sort of public chest-beating. I think there will, though, be quiet confidence. They feel they took the right stand, and things have actually turned out the way they had hoped.
We're speaking with Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He's in Paris in advance of this meeting of a huge number of international communities. Is it, how big a deal is it, Jonathan, that Russia has finally recognized the Transitional National Council of Libya?
I think it's a recognition of the reality that the Gaddafi regime is now history. Russia and indeed China were both highly skeptical about NATO's air campaign against Colonel Gaddafi's forces. This is the largest gathering on the crisis in Libya since there's been from the outset, some 60 countries and organizations represented here. There's going to be a more permanent formal grouping established, the Friends of Libya, which will meet again, we believe, in New York, in the margins of the UN General Assembly next month. But, of course, the Russians, like everybody else, have economic interests in Libya. Everybody wants to do deals with the new Libyan government. And so I think being here is the first stage in Moscow's reconciliation, if you like, with the new regime in Tripoli.
Jonathan Marcus is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. He's standing in front of the French President, Nicolas Sarkozy's official residence, where the council generally meets. And Jonathan, let's talk a little about those deals that you just mentioned. One has to assume that many of these countries are going to unfreeze the assets that they froze back in March when the rebellion really began in Libya. But they're also going to be asking for aid from some countries as well?
Well, clearly money has been frozen, and what's happening at the moment, we've seen it with the British, the Americans and the French, small tranches of money, small slices of money are being unfrozen, and indeed the British delivered a large quantity of banknotes to the new Libyan authorities yesterday. To get all of that money released is going to require a formal UN Security Council resolution. That may not come for a few days, if not weeks yet. So it's small amounts of money are being released, but they're important. There's going to be talk about more of that kind of thing here later in the day, but also very much listening to the National Transitional Council, listening to hear their plans, to hear the practical areas where they may still need assistance, not least in crucial things like getting water supplies back up and running, getting the oil industry back up and running, and so on.
Where's the fly going to be in this ointment, Jonathan Marcus? I mean, are there going to be countries that will say, yes, we will start some business contracts with you, we will offer you aid, but only if you allow us to have a certain guaranteed portion of your oil, only if you allow us to bring our businesses into Libya? Who's going to be putting up the biggest roadblocks here?
I'm not sure formally that's going to be the case. Clearly, behind the scenes, there may be lots of people trying to leverage future deals based upon the level of support that they gave to the rebel forces. It's clear that the British and the French obviously hope for a significant slice of business in the new Libya, as do the Italians. There are countries like the Germans who are much less forward in backing the rebels. They'll be trying to make up for lost ground. But I think that kind of commercial jockeying for position, whilst I'm sure it's going to go on in the background, is not really the essence of today. Today it's a matter of consolidating support for a regime which is still fighting the Gaddafi forces on the ground, but also, as I say, listening to their plans and trying to figure out what practical assistance can be given.
Well, and some of that practical assistance needs to come pretty quickly. We're speaking with the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, who's speaking to us live from Paris, where this meeting between leaders and Libya's National Transitional Council will take place. You know, Jonathan, at this point, you were talking about days, even weeks, before some of these things begin to go through. And at this time, there's a lot of people in Libya who are under a crisis. They need drinkable water. They need electricity and power. And a lot of those things require a vast influx of money.
Well, they do. They also require, obviously, the physical plant being in the hands of the new government. And I think particularly with water, the large aquifers that come from the south of the country, there are question marks as to how much of it is actually in the new government's hands, how much damage has been done to the infrastructure. I think those assessments are just beginning to be made. We've already seen the ships carrying water supplies coming in. So there are a lot of things that can be done in the meantime, but the big infrastructure, the oil industry, the water system, the electricity grid, and so on, clearly the first thing is to get security, to get order, then to get the experts in, the technicians who can make the assessments of what needs to be done. And bear in mind, it's not just governments. There's an awful lot of NGO activity, charities, and other welfare organizations who are already very active on the ground.
Jonathan Marcus is the diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. He's speaking to us live in Paris. Jonathan, I hope they're not honking with you. I hope you're out of the street, because Paris drivers are crazy, Jonathan.
It's a little hectic here, but...
Thanks so much for joining us. He's talking about the meeting going on today, co-chaired by British Prime Minister David Cameron and French President Nicolas Sarkozy, in which Libya's National Transitional Council will get a chance to meet with 60 world leaders or representatives and ask for aid, not just for their assets to be unfrozen, but some humanitarian aid as well.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.